Hello everybody, it's George from Ireland. Here I am on Brixton Road, London. And there, just above my finger, you can see the blue plaque. And that is where Charlie Chaplin lived, at number 15 Gresham Mansions. Well, the flat number 15. Towards the top left, that flat there, from 1908 to 1910. So Charlie Chaplin was a famous entertainer, and he spent the early part of his life in London, and more specifically, south of the river, probably born at Camberwell, more like Elephant and Castle, just but south of that junction. There's a plaque there on his putative birthplace. But anyway, he's born in 1882, that April, and then it haunted him. He was born only 3 days after Adolf Hitler. And the parallels between them were quite striking. Two brothers and a sister who survived. Their parents broke up in both cases. Their fathers died in both cases when, also left the family when the boy was a teenager, and obviously Chaplin's case, he died. What else? So they're both homeless for a while. They're both born in a city with a substantial Jewish minority. They're roughly the same height, and on and on and on. They both moved to another country at the age of 25. So it's astonishing. But however, there are obviously very great differences between the two. And Chaplin said, "I made the world laugh and he made the world cry." But anyway, so Charlie Chaplin, he's born to two actors. His mother was afflicted with mental ill health. And the precarious there of their circumstances was such that the mother had a nervous breakdown. The boys later went to a workhouse. They still existed until about the 1920s, where conditions were harsh indeed. It was very unloving and ungenerous. It was redolent of Oliver Twist. So it was not quite Dickensian by the Edwardian period. So there with his brother, only allowed to see his mother once a week. They were there at Hanwell. For a while he was sleeping on the street. He had bits and bobs of acting work, but he was immensely talented at dancing and singing, and obviously was a comic genius. He then shifted to the United States, where he lived for decades. He never became an American citizen, or indeed applied for it. He moved to Hollywood, which was just being set up, and that was becoming the world capital of cinema. Of course, all black and white, all silent films in those days, and he invented his tramp character. He's rather irreverent. He liked to poke fun at authority, so he was leftist in his political sympathies. I don't think he actually identified with the political party. Then the First World War broke out. He eschewed the idea of returning to volunteer, people suggesting that he should, and some people held it against him, saying he was unpatriotic. There he was, living it up in California, whilst his confrères were being killed in Flanders and such like. But he wasn't a pacifist. He thought this war was pointless, and because of the futility of it, the immorality of it, he certainly wasn't going to sacrifice his life for a cause that he didn't agree with. Then the United States only entered the war in 1917, and they could call up foreign residents, but they did not draft him by this stage. So he was a notorious womanizer. When he was about 30, he married a 16-year-old. He'd met her before then. He was married several times, had several children. One of his most famous films was The Great Dictator, released in 1940, so after the Second World War had begun. And it's obviously a send-up of Nazism. And then rather than swastika, they have the symbol is the double cross, as in two X's, as in they betray people, which they definitely did. And then there's a character called Arnold Hudler, which is an unmistakable allusion to Adolf Hitler. And Hitler apparently was incensed by it. And it's set in Tomania, this fictive Middle Europa country. And there's a Jewish tailor who bears a remarkable resemblance to Arnold Hudler, and Chaplin plays both Hudler and the tailor. And the Jewish tailor is then asked to stand in for the real dictator. And then he gives some speech rather than the gibberish that Hitler's character comes out with. He gives a magnificently eloquent speech, and you should see it on YouTube, the greatest speech of all time. And in this bravura allocution, he calls upon people to fight for liberty and not to hate anyone, and to love each other, saying that the good earth is rich and there's a living to be had for all, but greed has poisoned men's souls, and so forth. So this high-flown rhetoric is deeply inspiring. And that was released in France, for example, just after the Second World War. Might have been a rather sore point there, because it suffered so badly. Was a comedy about Nazism really apposite, but apparently it went down very well at the box office there. But by the early 1950s, he's having trouble. This was the McCarthyist era, as in Senator Joseph McCarthy of the Republican Party. He said there were Reds under the bed. There was a huge conspiracy. There were communists everywhere, and Pinkos as well. So they had to root out these fellow travellers. They were a canker eating away at America. There was another more problems for him. The House Committee on Un-American Activities Committee, whatever it was, and the House of Representatives wanted to question him, and those who were suspected of leftist leanings were hounded out of Hollywood, blacklisted, had to seek work abroad, couldn't work as actors, directors, producers. That wasn't by law, but Hollywood simply decided they were going to appease the hysteria. It's a sort of, there's a leftist equivalent that's obviously going on in the United Kingdom these days with a cancel culture, or anyone who's thought to be right-wing, you know, going to be driven out of media, academia, and so forth. But then he'd had a liaison with a young lady named Joan Barry. She was heavily gravid, and when in an advanced state of pregnancy, she said that he had sired her child. This is an unwed pregnancy, when it's still regarded as scandalous in the 50s. He disputed that he had. He acknowledged she had had a physical relationship with her, but that had ended over 2 years before she proclaimed this pregnancy. Nevertheless, the daughter was born, and there was a court case. Blood tests proved that he couldn't possibly be the father of this infant, but those were inadmissible in California's courts at the time. DNA hadn't even been discovered at that stage. So despite probative evidence that it was utterly impossible for him to have authored this child, nevertheless, he was found liable to pay child support until such time as the girl attained the age of 1 and 20 years. So rather than be deported or barred from the United States, he voluntarily re-emigrated. He came back to Europe. He actually lived in Switzerland as a tax exile most of the time. But all was forgiven about 20 years later. He went back to Hollywood to receive a Lifetime Achievement Award at the Oscars. And he said how they were beautiful people, how he was so touched. So he died in Switzerland, and indeed he's buried there. So he had about 8 children. And you should see that magnificent film about him entitled Chaplin, starring Robert Downey Jr., came out about 30 years ago. And Chaplin's own daughter plays Charlie Chaplin's mother, as in this woman is portraying her grandmother in the film when she's in that period of mental derangement. So that is Charlie Chaplin, who somehow never quite made it into sound films. Yes, as The Great Dictator, but then he didn't have any marvellous projects after that. So he lived to quite a great age. He lived at almost the age of 90. So Charlie Chaplin, well worth watching his films. Bit old hat these days. Anyway, so thank you so much for my channel, and make sure you subscribe on Patreon. Please donate on PayPal, dig deep, you know, sell off the family heirlooms and give me everything, because obviously I urgently need donations to keep this channel going. Follow me on Instagram, Facebook, and all the other social media accounts. And remember, I tutor people all sorts of subjects in the humanities online, history, politics, religious studies, French, English language, English literature, IELTS, the Life in the UK test. And indeed, I'm a tour guide in Londinium. So yeah, keep those requests coming. I'm starting to do tours in various cities. All right, goodbye everyone. Toodaloo.